In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This whole business of the kingdom of God is a very difficult one. It's not clear what it actually means in scripture and in tradition. There are those who today would think of it as the making present of God's justice upon the earth, as being a highly social thing, something to do with the way political institutions are run and social organisations do their work. And no doubt that's partly true. There are others who've seen it in a much more individualistic way, who would say that it's to do with the inner disposition of the convert to Christianity. And in that light, to a certain extent, St. Seraphim of Sarov said that the kingdom of God was, or is, the Holy Spirit. Mind you, that would apply also to the world around us. And yet we see that isn't the case. At Christmas time, we'll talk about the coming of the Prince of Peace. But we ought to be strongly aware of the fact that for 2,000 years there has been no peace. And in the last century in particular, peace went out the window in a very, very severe and appalling manner. In some ways, things have got much worse, though in other ways they've got better. We find a greater consideration amongst our citizens for the poor and for the underprivileged, and also for those who are suffering abroad in other countries, which we'd never really have thought about in previous generations. So this sort of, it's like there's swings and roundabouts and going in one door and coming out another. And it's not clear exactly in what way the whole business of the kingdom of God does apply to us as individuals and as a society. It's clearly about something. The gospel reading which we've just had from St. Matthew is one of these famous apocalyptic passages in Holy Scripture, fairly fierce, fairly threatening, about the Son of Man coming with and the eagles being gathered together and the sun being darkened and the moon not giving her light and the stars falling from the heavens. And this simply cannot be literally true. It cannot be expected to be literally true. Stars are not likely to fall from the heavens. And the powers of the heavens being shaken, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But it must mean something. The fact that it doesn't mean what it appears to mean in a very literal sense doesn't mean that it means nothing. It most certainly means something. It's in Holy Scripture. And the Church has considered it as a necessary part of the teaching of the faith. So it has some significance. What the significance is, of course, is the real problem. How we are to understand this is the dilemma. And in fact, I would say that in a sense we cannot expect to understand it in a simple sort of mental or intellectual way. There is something much more profound about it than can simply be reduced to ordinary human words. So these are not ordinary human words, these are poetic words, and they have to be understood as such. But it is clear that, at least it is clear to me, that it's about the making present of an already existing reality. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say the Lord, your will be done, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God already exists in its fullness. It cannot be taken away from, it cannot be belittled, it cannot be reduced in any way. It exists. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is already, as it were, there. The fact of the matter is, however, that it needs to be expressed in some way here. And we find that the way in which it's expressed here is, as I said this morning, rather unlike what you might expect. It's expressed through love and self-sacrifice and the willingness to be crucified rather than to condemn others. It's expressed by forgiveness, by gentleness, by kindness, and things of that kind. So that must be, as this is the king, this must be what the kingdom is like. And it's therefore, it is an inward thing, which has an outward expression. It's not enough simply to impose good things on other people by means of legislation. It's not simply a social thing. But on the other hand, as St. James would say, you know, you show me your faith without works, you won't be able to do it. Whereas I will show you my faith by my works. For 300 years, the Church had little or no effect on the world around it. That's a long time. For 300 years it had no real social effect. It was not an agency for the alleviation of hunger and for the bringing about education and so on. It wasn't any of those things for 300 years. For 300 years it was a persecuted minority with very little social impact, except to be laughed at and persecuted. And yet, in some extraordinary way, the kingdom of God was present within it, and made present within it. And so this extraordinary mystery, and it is a mystery, is clearly something which the fathers of the Oxford movement used to talk about, the hidden God. And that's very true. Scripture talks about that. You are a hidden God. Somehow the reality is already present. It's like the sacrament before which we shall worship this evening. What we see is only bread. But on the other hand, this bread makes present something far beyond itself. It requires the eyes of faith to see what is there. It is here. The kingdom of God is here. But somehow it needs to be uncovered. And we seem to have an important role in uncovering it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.